Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mass.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mass.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rob Ninkovich, I got a ton of respect for him and everything. But to me, that's just the easy way out or the easy thought. No one can wrap their head around that this was actually plan A for the New England Patriots going into the 2020 season. And, you know, to throw that on there too, you know, first off, Stidham, we know what Brian Hoyer is. Stidham's more talented in every facet, okay? Yes, you know, Brian Hoyer's not making my top 40 quarterbacks. He's not. I know what Brian Hoyer is, and he's not one of the top 40 in football. Jared Stidham, talent-wise, is another guy that I'd say has top 20 talent. We just got to see him play and do it on the football field first. So, you know, I don't agree with that. And also to this, you know, I'll throw this point at you. New England didn't win one game last year because of Tom Brady. Like, there's not one game you can go back and look at and go, man, if they didn't have Tom Brady, they wouldn't have won that game. You know, no, that they won games last year because Brady was smart and took care of the ball. I'm not trying to discredit that. But they played a different style of football. They played through their defense. We knew that. The offense was struggling. They're going to play through their defense again this year, you know. So they're not going to be asking Jared Stidham to be like Tom Brady of 2015 that drops back 45 times a game and throws the ball all over the place. They're going to run the ball. They're going to make sure he's comfortable with the game plan and the things he does well. And they're going to play through that defense too. So this is their guy. They're going to go with it. And if that fails – oh, we have old reliable behind him and Brian Hoyer, and then you bring him in. You don't bring Brian Hoyer in to be the starter, and then what, the Patriots start out 4-5-0, and they've won a bunch of games like 17-14 through their defense, and it's been ugly? And you're going, damn, I mean, they're winning, but, you know, really, how high is the ceiling with a quarterback that's not big time? Is he going to help them get over the edge against better teams in football or playoff times? No. So, to me, you start Stidham all the way, and I think that's their plan all the way.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati, Tuesday, June 2nd. Felger and Murray here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Running in a little bit late today. Encountered something. Haven't had in quite a while, Murray. Can't remember the
traffic?
Last. Traffic.
Traffic. It was from the Friday before Memorial Day, but today it seemed unexpected. It being a random Tuesday, you know.
I'll almost take it.
Yeah, same here.
I like civilization again.
Sucker.
Okay, so anyway, we meant to play that cut a little bit later, but thanks for hanging in there, Chris Sims, on Pro Football Talk about the Patriots quarterback situation, which is a jumping off point for how I want to begin today, Maz, and that is with some football. And specifically, it's Felger and Maz. We're presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. According to DraftKings, The DraftKings book has dropped the Patriots over under, Maz, on wins for the year from 9.5 down to 8.5. Mm-hmm. And that has happened in the last couple of days, according to our friends at DraftKings. Let me ask you, why do you think that is?
So I think it's two things. I think that many of the predictions before, or projections before, I should say, were based on the belief that the Patriots would probably add a veteran quarterback, whether it was going to be Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, someone other than Brian Hoyer, who doesn't do anything to excite the public, as you well know. So I think now here we are, and obviously in the month of June, and the Patriots haven't added a quarterback. It doesn't look like they're going to add a quarterback. They didn't draft a quarterback. They added a couple of guys as undrafted free agents, as we know. But there is no real solution there other than what they had on the roster before. And so I think that's a factor. I also think what is a factor is that people are probably betting more on the under now. You know, after the initial line came out and the Patriots didn't have a don't have a quarterback, now the money's coming in at under 9.5, so they lowered the number to try to get people to go on the over side.
So the first thing is what I want to explore today. The first thing. And that is, I think the Patriots' projections in Vegas among analysts has been on the high side, right? I mean, I think
agreed.
I think a lot of fans, you know, if I asked you all last year, and I know what you said because I was here when I asked you, if next year the Patriots have Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer as their quarterback, what's their record? And you say 5-11, 6-10, something like that. That's where most people came in. And then, you know, all the preseason rankings and the power rankings and the projections and the over-under totals come in, and the Patriots are neck and neck with the Buffalo Bills for the AFC East. They're at 9-10 wins. Somewhere in there, it's like, well, where the hell did that come from? And I'm beginning to wonder, were those numbers and those projections Cam Newton projections and Cam Newton numbers or Andy Dalton numbers? And once the market has now realized that it actually is Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer, they're now going down. I mean, Peter King just did some NFL power rankings where he had the Pats not just behind the Bills but behind the Dolphins, and he had the Patriots all the way down at number 21 in the league. Is that because Peter King has come to realize that his Andy Dalton thing is not happening and the Cam Newton thing is not happening? And so now we're getting the Patriots assessed based on Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer and not quarterback X, Y, or Z. Murray, your thought?
Yeah, I think it's the latter of the two quarterbacks that you just mentioned more than anything else. It's Brian Hoyer. And so what do we know about the gaming community and the analytics community? They trade in information. So what you've seen with this dip is what they call in the Murray community the stench of Hoyer. You know, we've heard a little bit of a scuttlebutt here in recent weeks. Oh, no, Hoyer's going to be the guy. Hoyer's going to be your starter week one, even from guys that used to be connected to the team, you know, like Rob Ninkovich. I still know a lot of those guys, especially someone like Brian Hoyer, who was a former teammate. So maybe that's what they've figured out. Oh, it really is going to be Brian Hoyer, who sucks, to start a quarterback for this team next year. There's going to be a dip there as far as the over-under is concerned. They're going to go down from a 9 to, say, an 8 because we know that Brian Hoyer blows.
This is what I'm wondering, Maz. Is the market accounting for what the reality is at the quarterback spot? And before, they were betting on Bill Belichick making a move. And now this is now where we're at.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, to me, that's the interesting angle. And that's one that I'd like to explore. Is that what you think, folks? How much is, so let me ask you, 617-779-0985. What's your over-under total for the Patriots if Cam Newton is the quarterback? What's your over-under total for the Patriots if Andy Dalton's their quarterback? What's your over-under total if Jared Stidham's their quarterback? What's your over-under total if Brian Hoyer's their quarterback? Let me ask you that. Cam Newton's their quarterback next year, Murray. What's their over-under?
10.
What's the record? The record's 10-6?
10-6, yeah, 11-5 at best, yeah.
Okay, Andy Dalton?
9-7. 9-7. I'll give you that.
Andy Dalton's 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than you dumped on that guy pretty hard.
He's terrible, yep. And you're not going to really win anything with him, but you'll be... 9-7's not... Yeah, it's fine. Meh. He's meh.
Okay.
Meh.
Okay, Jared Stidham.
9-7.
So Stidham and Dalton are the same at 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
Newton gets you another game.
Yep.
And then Brian Hoyer?
6-10.
Okay, Maz?
9.5 for Newton and Dalton. I think they're the same. I think the offense is different, but I think ultimately they come out in the same place. And then the other two, I'd put Stidham at 7.5 and Hoyer at 6.5.
Okay, I have Stidham and Hoyer in the same spot. I think they're a 9-10 win team with those two guys. I'll tell you what. It's the same for all of them. I mean, Cam Newton's better, and I'm not telling you that Brian Hoyer's better than Cam Newton. He's categorically not. But when you net it all out, net, the offense and what it's going to look like and the time in the offense and the no off season because of the pandemic and when it all washes out, I don't know if Cam Newton gets you any more wins than he would. Maybe there'd be one game where he'd run around and make a play that none of these other guys could make, and he'd, you know, eke you out another win. But Stidham, Hoyer, Dalton, you're all the same. You're all the same, and Cam Newton, maybe I'll give you a half win on that possibility that he runs around and, you know, with a minute left, chucks something into the corner of the end zone and, you know, just makes one of those plays that the other guys can't make. Otherwise, net, 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 I think it's all the same thing.
And no way.
I kind of think this is what people are missing about the whole story. They're missing it. They're missing it about the whole story. At least this is what Bill's banking on. And this is Bill's sort of thing, and I've taken that side of it, so at least I'm going to be consistent with it. It's going to be about the program and the team and the coaching and the scheme and the stupid coaches on the other sidelines and the bad division and the opponents, and that's what it's going to be about. And the quarterbacks are all going to net out the same.
So, look, the one thing I can't account for, and I hate to begin it this way because then it sounds like I'm agreeing with you, but the one thing I can't account for is the experience in the organization and in the system. Okay, so, and that's obviously a factor in Belichick's decision. But, Mike, do you really believe that Brian Hoyer is as good as Cam Newton?
No, but I just told you that. I
understand.
I don't. But to me, it's not about that. To me, it's about third and four. Here's the call. There's the defense. And you don't need to run around and make some sort of rocket arm play or sprint out to the edge and elude a rusher. No, you need to read the defense. Watch out, Brian. The backside tight end is going to be wide open. And Hoyer throws to the backside tight end a throw you could make. And he just makes it. And they pick it up because it's been coached and schemed. And he just runs the scheme. Yes. So I do. I don't think they're the same talent level. But I think net-net, that you get the same out of Brian Hoyer as you would Cam Newton, roughly speaking.
Yeah,
roughly.
I just think it's an oversimplification. That's all. I have too much respect for the quarterback position to say that everything's going to run the same whether you plug Cam Newton or Brian Hoyer in there. And so at the end of the day, that's why I draw a distinction. Now, Dalton and Newton, I think Newton's better than Dalton, and I told you I think the over-under for those guys is the same because I think they'd run a different offense, and I think the veteran acumen, veteran knowledge is worth something in that situation. But the other guys, there's no way. In my mind, if Brian Hoyer plays, they'll be the worst. You know, I view the Patriots, depending on who's at quarterback, two or three different versions of the same team. Again, Newton and Dalton are one version, then there's Stidham, then there's Hoyer. The Hoyer version is the worst. That's the worst version. If Hoyer plays more than half the season, they're going
to
blow.
Yeah, that win total to me just looks like a ski slope. Like you start with Newton, then it just goes down.
I don't see it at all.
Ski jump, Murray.
No. It's a bunny hill. It's a green. It's a beginner's trail. There's not much of a difference. I've said this a million times over. I feel like I'm the one who's consistent. How many games have we had here over the years where it really didn't matter who your quarterback was? I mean, like, there's like 80%. Sims just said there wasn't a single game last year that Brady won.
Oh, he's wrong.
And I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but something like that. How many games have we had here over the years where, I mean, Brady made it a 30-point win or an easy win or a blowout win, but how many games, and usually these AFC East games, where it didn't matter who your quarterback was? It didn't. There's been so many of them. And I'm banking on that being Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham or Cam Newton. It makes no difference. They're going to clean up those games like they've always cleaned up those games. And those are like, I don't know, 6, 7, or 8 on the schedule. And so now we're talking about the 1, 2, or 3 that sort of hang in the balance based on making a play or two, and that's where we're going to find out. But I expect them to win the games that they were going to win anyway, regardless of who the quarterback is.
And this, you know, I think the callers are right. I think you've become a full-time inhabitant of Belichick town.
Just consistent town is what it is, which is, I know, a foreign place to you people.
It's called dug in on a take.
That's right.
Seriously, though.
You people.
Billville.
So is that why the win total's down? Is that why Vegas, the most current prognostic, it feels like the arrow's pointed down on the Patriots in the last week or two? Is this purely reflective of the fact that, I guess the Patriots talked to Cam Newton, but they didn't want him. Okay, so that was reported too. And now Rob Ninkovich has joined those who said, no, it's actually going to be Brian Hoyer. Is that why the number's going down? And I'll tell you this, you want it to keep going down. You want it to keep going down. That number's becoming valuable. There's value there.
Oh, God.
In that downward trajectory. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's right. You get a higher draft pick. Mike Felger, the mayor of Billville.
617-779-0985. Welcome to Consistent Town.
Yeah, Billville.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the depth chart. You got Stidham. You got Brian Hoyer. You got Brian Lewerke. So a couple Michigan State guys behind Stidham there. Rob Ninkovich is doing the media tour, former Patriot. And this is when I searched for Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham, man, Rob Ninkovich came up in basically every story. There's not a whole lot going on out there. We're just basically writing stories about what he said. But he thinks Hoyer's going to be the starter, and I think he's probably not alone in people thinking, like, okay, they're not going to hand the reins over to Jarrett Stidham. Hoyer knows the system. Belichick's going to feel more comfortable with him. Josh McDaniels. Do you see that as at least a sliver of possibility?
I don't. I don't think there's any way. You know, they didn't know they were going to get Brian Hoyer in free agency. They weren't, like, sold on that. This was the plan. They knew this. Jarrett Stidham had already proved to them enough that he was capable of taking over the reins for Tom Brady. You know, so this was the plan all along.
Chris Sims insistent that it's Jared Stidham. I don't think it matters Hoyer Stidham in terms of this number. I think it's a Cam Newton reflection or an Andy Dalton reflection or a just an overall quarterback assessment. I think the market was betting on Bill Belichick to bring in a veteran quarterback that would give him a better chance this year. And when all the dust settled and the final reports, again, this weekend, Patriots talked to Cam Newton, but there wasn't a match. And when I read that, I said to myself, I bet you Cam Newton called them. And then Greg Bedard tweeted something out in the last 24 hours that sort of confirmed that, or, you know, that's what he had believed as well. But I bet the market was saying the Pats are going to come up with something here at quarterback. And when it turns out they didn't, the arrow starts to point down. So DraftKings over the weekend take them from 9.5 wins to 8.5 wins. But I think the 8.5 is whether it's Stidham or Hoyer. Now, a lot of people think differently, but I think those two. Again, I think Stidham's better. I want it to be Stidham. I hope it's Stidham.
There's more unknown and upside with Stidham.
Of
Hoyer
course.
Just sucks.
Of course there's more upside. And so you want it to be Stidham, but I think their win total is going to be the same. Or, you know, the value there on the win total is going to be the same regardless of who it is. And so I think that's a Hoyer-Stidham number. Peter King puts the Patriots 21st.
I saw that.
21st in his power rankings. Peter King writes, well, Bill Belichick and the Patriots are set up to answer the age-old question, can Belichick win without Tom Brady? In regular season games in his coaching career, Belichick teams are 219-64 with Brady when he starts and 54-63 when he doesn't.
Ooh.
And again, those are Cleveland numbers. I think the Patriots numbers are more relevant. He says, without Brady, Belichick's won at a 462 clip, with Brady at 774. He says, this year reminds me of Belichick's first year or two in New England when he and Scott Pioli got the cap right by making do with lesser players and the highest paid player in football, Drew Bledsoe. By 2002, it was Brady's team, and he flourished. Now, after jettisoning Brady, Gronkowski, center, Ted Karras, kicker, Steven Gostkowski, Keystone linebackers like Van Noy, Roberts, and Collins, Belichick and Nick Caserio can clean out the cap and rebuild. The reviews on the 133rd pick of the 2019 draft, Jared Stidham, are good, but the shadow of the 199th pick in 2000 will always be a long one for anyone who plays quarterback in New England. There is no book on Stidham, a tough kid who will not be afraid of the hot seat, but his goal is to keep New England in games and leave the Patriots with a decision to make on a quarterback in the 2021 draft. Whatever happens, America will be watching, says Peter King. Four of their final nine games will be in prime time. I think this season breaks the Patriots' 11-year stranglehold on the AFC East, but I'm pretty sure everyone in that building wants to rub our faces in such predictions, and that's a great motivator. Do you think they still have that blah mentality without Tom Brady there, Maz? Is it as strong? The "I'll shut you up, I'll prove you wrong." I guess that take didn't age well. That baby, whiny Patriots mentality. Do they still have it without Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think it might be even stronger without Brady.
Who leads it?
The fans.
I would say some of the veteran guys on the deep. Well, Bill, really. But if you say to me who were the leaders in the locker room, I would say the veteran guys on defense, the Devin McCourties of the world, who will sit there and say, "Hey, guys, we're going to win without him. This is what the challenge is now, and this is where I think the real value in a guy like McCourty is." And so people don't believe we can do it, and McCourty's got the hardware to get some of the younger guys to line up behind him, and he's certainly got the credibility and all of that. So to me, that's where it would come from. It would come from a guy like him. And then, you get one of those quarterbacks to play well early in the year. Maybe one of the, maybe the rest of the guys sort of fall into line. But look, it's an easy thing to motivate a team with. Brady's gone. Everybody thinks we're going to suck without Brady. Let's go out and show them.
Okay, well, let's see. Brady clearly still has, that thing in him because he's turned right back into the hardest working player in football down in Tampa to prove Bill or anybody else wrong. Who's got that, edge other than Bill and you people, in Foxborough? I wonder if that's going to be as strong of a motivator. I sure hope it is. For the Patriots' sake, some of your calls, as promised. Charlie in Providence, lead us off today. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yes, sir. Hey, Felger, I was calling to agree with you about the consistency between Belichick and Tom. And for me, Tom never separated himself from the team because Bill always put the team first. And I started watching the Patriots around the end of Drew Bledsoe. So up until now, Tom's been so inconsistent with his videos and what he's doing. And whatnot, but Bill's just been standing pat, even with that Malcolm Butler thing.
How so? I was just going to ask you, caller, if he always put the team first, what about the Super Bowl against the Eagles and Malcolm Butler?
No. I'm saying Bill has always adhered to his philosophy.
He's been a consistent a-hole.
Yeah, that's the only thing he's been consistent
about. So he's been a consistently dickish his entire time. So that is true. And he has sometimes managed and coached with ego and personal vendettas in mind. And he's done that his entire career. He always has, because he's a human being. Unlike, some of you folks who think that he's, some sort of robot. He's a human being. So sometimes he lets emotion or personal things get in the way of his decisions. And when he does that, like the rest of us, he tends to make bad decisions. And that was where I put the Malcolm Butler decision in that regard. But I do think Bill is more like Bill from 2000 than Tom Brady is. I think Tom Brady's changed a heck of a lot more than Bill Belichick has changed. And the caller said Brady never put himself in front of the team until the last couple of years. And then I think Brady put himself above the team a little bit. And I think in the last couple of years, you've seen Brady become something he wasn't. And Bill at least is closer to what he was, closer to.
Oh, there's no question that the greater variance has been in Brady. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And look, the question you raised earlier, too, is a good one, Mike, about who's going to be the guy to drive that us against the world mentality, because with Brady, it was part of who he was. I get what your point is.
I'm just not sure if it's the McCourties, Maz. They're a little more cerebral and...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, even keeled and professional and adult. Like, you need sort of the
chip on his shoulder.
Chip on the shoulder, or like just a baby, I heard what you said. Like, I don't feel like the McCourties are really those guys. That sort of bitchy, whiny mentality has served the Patriots very well. I think Brady has it. I know Bill does and his people do. But, who sort of leads it in the locker room? And that's just jumping off that last Peter King line, that they'd love to take a projection like this. He ranks him 21st and shove it down our throats. I again, for the Patriots' sake, I hope they still have it. Keith, well, Go ahead.
Yeah, in this case, it should be an easy thing to generate. That's the thing, right? Is that it, I don't know how much of a chip they even need. This is so easy to generate because of Brady.
Keith in Vermont. Go ahead, Keith.
You covered it a little bit before I called. I think that they might be tanking to get Trevor Lawrence. Mm. They've got a ton of picks they could package.
Mm. Here we go. Okay, Keith, I'm sorry. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Put this on the list next to the bad ice call with the hockey
yep.
callers, and let's mic the players in the other sports because there's no fans in the crowd.
Yeah, what about the ice, Velga? Oh, God, please, would you stop it? They're not going to tank for Trevor Lawrence. They're not going to suck bad enough to get the pick, and their division's not good enough for them to get the pick. That's another factor that we haven't really touched on that people can't overlook. As improved as Buffalo has been now, and maybe even as Miami is, it's not like there's a 12-4 team in the division. I think they're all going 7-9 to 9-7. They're all going to fall in there with a possible exception of the Jets.
There's just so many reasons why they're not going to tank. I don't want to lose my mind. I'd like to get to put this on a loop, and so Jimmy can just press a button. There's just so many reasons they're not going to do it. One, Belichick wants to catch Don Shula. He's not getting any younger. He's no spring chicken. If he wants to catch Don Shula as the all-time winningest coach, 4-12 doesn't help him. One. Two, the big thing for Bill Belichick, we've been led to believe, is it's a little bit of an ego play. He wants to prove he can win without Tom Brady. And he wants to prove it's not about the quarterback, it's about him. So how in the world does he prove that by going 4-12 and then drafting a quarterback up high in the draft as if just to announce to everybody it is all about the quarterback? That is completely antithetical to everything he's trying to prove. Don't you get it? Three, the division still blows. Four, the coaching across the league still blows. You can't get Trevor Lawrence in the first overall pick when you go 6-10 because that's the low watermark for that team when you have a coach that good and the division is that bad. Should we keep going? Like, how many reasons do you need to know they're not going to tank for Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, but what about that saying, one step forward, two steps
back?
Oh,
my God, it's
2020
so ridiculous.
2 steps back, you tank it, you win never for Trevor.
We'll see what Peter King has to say about the rest of the division with more of your calls. Again, the Patriots over-under, down, going down. Arrows pointing down. Is that because the market finally realizes this is Hoyer and Stidham's team? It's not Cam Newton's team. It's not Andy Dalton. This is it. The last shoe is dropped. It's over. And so the market is now reflecting. Were those high over-under win totals a Cam Newton over-under? And now this is the real over-under? Is that what's going on? That's the main topic for today. More right after Murray's update.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Velger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Velger and Mass.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Velger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Market is down on the Patriots. DraftKings, who bring you Felger and Mavs here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston, has lowered their win total, their over-under win total, from 9.5 to 8.5. It's minus 130 to take the over on the 8.5. I think that's good value. I'd pound the crap out of that. 9.5 scares me. Hey, what, you got to get to 10 with that schedule? That's a tough, but 9? I don't know. I like that, and I hope it keeps going down because I'm buying on the Patriots on that, whether it's Stidham or Hoyer. But I wonder, was the 9.5 reflective of the market thinking Cam Newton or Andy Dalton was going to be your quarterback, and now we know they're not? The market, it goes down because that's a Brian Hoyer, Jared Stidham number. And meanwhile, is some of the power rankings, most notably Peter King, arrow pointing down on the Patriots. Peter King has him 21st. 21st. He has the Dolphins ahead of him. Dolphins at 19. Peter King writes, the most overused Peter King stat of the offseason. Here it is. 2019 records, including playoffs, since Halloween last year. Miami 5-4. New England 4-5. Is that a fair representation, Maz?
Yes.
Yeah, sure it is, of course.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
Why isn't it? The Miami beat the Patriots head-to-head.
Miami had nothing to play for.
So?
They're playing out the string. No one's paying attention to them. No one's putting any effort into them. Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's perfect Ryan Fitzpatrick territory. When no one expects you to win or needs you to win, and it's just a throwaway game, all of a sudden he's running around out there like Skippy Magoo making plays. That's...
You don't think those guys were playing their ass off for Flores?
Of course they were. Of course they were. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about...
You're talking about pressure.
I'm talking about there was nothing to lose. There was no pressure. So, of course, they just lay it all out there. I'd also like to see Miami's schedule. Patriots had a hard schedule down this stretch, or a harder one anyway. Had to go to Baltimore, to Houston, Kansas City, etc. I don't know what Miami's schedule was down the stretch. I don't think that's a fair representation. You think Miami and the Patriots were the same team in the second half of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, by the time it came down to it, yeah.
That yeah, last game, I do. Yeah,
the better team won.
I don't.
See, but so again, but you're eliminating the first half. You said, is that a fair representation? Yeah, in the second half, Miami played better than the Patriots did. They totally did. And Mike, I understand your point about there being no pressure for the Dolphins, but that can go both ways. I mean, let's not forget the Patriots went down there late in the season and back in, what was it, 2015? And we all said, well, the Patriots will get off to a good start. Miami's got nothing to play for. You know, they'll start the buses early and that'll be it. So sometimes, like, the whole nothing to play for thing can go the other way on you. The fact is, in the second half of the year, Miami played better than the Patriots did. But now, does that mean they can do it over a whole season? I have no idea. And the you know, I think that Peter King's assessment of the Patriots, too low. I told you last week when we talked about the geeks at ESPN, the stat geeks at ESPN, they had the Patriots ranked 9th. I thought that was too high. I think if you pick right between the middle of that, 9th and 21st, you come out at 15th, which is about where I would put the Patriots. Smack dab in the middle of the league, largely because they have Bill Belichick. I think that they are right there in the middle of the league.
I just think, looking at those teams' records in the last 8-9 games, and then applying it to this year and saying they're the same team because they had the same record in the last half of last year is silly. It's just, it's a whole new season, whole new team, whole new motivations, whole new schedule, whole new everything. And I'm sorry. I think Miami was that classic team that the season was done for them. They were playing out the string. No one took them personally. They caught a little wind at their sails and pulled some games out of their butt that they probably didn't even want to win, but it was just one of those things. Meanwhile, the Patriots ran out of gas. Brady had one foot out the door, and it was just a whole different thing. Miami's not ready yet, in my opinion. I would certainly not use the second half of last year to gauge that.
And they beat some okay teams there down the stretch. The Colts, who were quarterbacked by Suckbag Hoyer, Eagles, and the Patriots. All right, yeah. Nope, the Dolphins are better than the Pats. Maz is right.
Okay. I mean, look, I look at it, and again, to me, this isn't a question of whether they're better or not. It's in the second half of the year, the Dolphins played better than the Patriots. Yeah, they did. Miami got a lot better as the year went along. The Patriots didn't.
Okay, so what happened to Miami? I don't know if people remember the whole arc of Miami. They played a primetime game in Pittsburgh where they got beat, and there was a play at the end of the first half, I want to say, where Miami played this just ridiculous sort of layoff prevent defense and let Pittsburgh like waltz in for a touchdown from the 50-yard line. I think I have this right. It's generally right. I don't think it was at the end of the game. It might have been right before half. And they everyone went back and screen grabbed it and ran the clip, and you know, analysts look at it the next day and said, "Well, this is a prime example of the Dolphins tanking. They just totally laid down, gave up a touchdown to Pittsburgh in this situation. This proves they're just trying to suck for Tua or tank for Burrow, and this is what they were trying to do." And I think that got Flores pissed off and the team pissed off. And since then, they went on some sort of little run, and Fitzpatrick got a little lucky. And to me, Miami's still a million miles away. And I would not use the second half just to say that now they've caught you. I mean, I wouldn't do that. But anyway, Peter King says, so they go 5-4. You go 4-5 since Halloween of last year. He says, and then the Dolphins added an electric quarterback, half the Patriots roster, and reinforcements for the offensive line. He says, I look at the two coordinators Brian Flores let go with a mixture of suspicion and praise. Chad O'Shea's offense may or may not have been too encyclopedic, and Patrick Graham may or may not have meshed with Flores' defensive philosophy totally. But I like a coach who has the guts to open himself up for criticism for having two new coordinators. He hired Chan Gailey, who'd been out of football for 3 years on offense. And Josh Boyer is now their defensive coordinator. Is that the kid from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology?
Holy crap, I didn't realize that.
We mocked for 4 years?
The
former secondary coach here? Felt like he couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag. That's that guy.
Yep. Same dude.
That's him.
From the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology.
Yep.
Who was their logo? Who was their mascot? Remember? Like,
Was it like
Yosemite Sam?
Grungy or something like something like that?
What's his name? From Blazing Saddles, what's his freaking name? That was authentic mountain gibberish. What's his name? That's their defensive coordinator. That's their defensive coordinator.
No, it isn't. Brian Flores is the defensive coordinator.
Well,
Josh Boyer is just going to do what he tells him to do.
As for who plays quarterback around the draft, Peter King says, I kept hearing Miami's a perfect place for Tua because he can take a redshirt year to get his ankles and surgically repaired hip absolutely perfect for 2021. What's so funny?
That mascot is Grubby the Miner.
I told you.
Grubby the Miner, right.
I thought it was Grungy or something
that.
Yeah, Grubby. Grubby the Miner.
Hold on. I got to Google the Blazing Saddles guy because that's going to kill me till I get it. So Tua behind Ryan Fitzpatrick was the perfect scenario, writes Peter King. It could be, but not because the Dolphins drafted him to take a rehab season. If we learn one thing from watching Flores last year, when half his roster got traded to get in position to have the first pick in the draft, he's not coaching for next year. If Tua's better and healthy than Fitzpatrick in August, he'll play. If he's not, he won't. That's what Peter King says. So I'm like, this is part of the equation. So Miami either has a rookie quarterback who may or may not be physically ready, or Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Bills, who are also ranked ahead of you, according to Peter King, have a lot in place, I'll acknowledge. How's their quarterback?
Oh, stinks. That's the detriment of that team. I like the Bills. I think they're well-coached. Defense is really good. I think it's maybe the best overall defense in the division. But Josh Allen stinks. I can't. He's going to cost them games.
So this is my point. Gabby Johnson is his name. Gabby Johnson. It's like, how do you tank for Trevor when
everyone else blows in your division?
Here comes the teams ahead of you. You either have a stone-cold rookie who may not be, or Ryan Fitzpatrick, or you do, there might be a good quarterback in your division, Sam Darnold, but his coach is a complete clown. And then in Buffalo, they feel like they have everything else in place, except their quarterback is a complete, wild card, not ready. So how do you get to two wins? How do you get to 3-4 wins against that cast? You don't. So just to go back to that thing. All right, again, back to your calls. Arrows pointing down on the Patriots. Is that purely reflective of the market realizing Cam Newton ain't coming to town? It is Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer. Back to your thoughts right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Welker and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I still have the Patriots. I projected them as a 10-6 team after going through their schedule. Wow. I think they get a couple of nice breaks. I think the Thursday night game in L.A. against the Rams was a huge break for them, that they get to play in the same stadium the Sunday before while the Rams are away. And they're just in Arizona, but still. Normally, when you have a Thursday night game and you're the home team, you normally have a huge advantage where the other team has one less practice because they have to travel. The Patriots are going to be in their hotel in L.A. by 6 o'clock out there on Sunday before the game. So they're going to have more prep than any Thursday night team will get during that season. And I also think getting Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Kyler Murray all three together is a break instead of having to, you know, prepare for that type of athletic quarterback at different spots on the schedule. It's just three in a row, boom, Belichick can put in his game plan, and that's a lot easier for them. And the final thing on the schedule is I think after the Baltimore game, it's not going to be – easy by any stretch. Every game is going to be a challenge, but I do think that they have a chance to go on a run after the Ravens game with the Texans, the Cardinals, Chargers, Rams, and then the division to finish the season. I think the schedule sets up well for them.
That was Bedard from a couple weeks ago. He's got him with a path to 10 wins. I think it's the same. I'll say it again. My feeling on the team over under wins is roughly the same whether it's Brian Hoyer, Jared Stidham, Andy Dalton, or Cam Newton. I honestly think if Stidham, Hoyer, or Andy Dalton, I have them at the same number, 10. If Cam Newton's here, I don't think it changes appreciably much, and he's a better player than all those other guys. But you understand, there's just going to be a crap ton of games that it's not going to matter who your quarterback is. This is what I'm basing it on. Over the years, there's been a crap ton of games where it just hasn't mattered who your quarterback is. Brady's better than everybody else, and Brady being here gives you these blowout wins that are, you know, are over by halftime, and so maybe we don't have those anymore. We won't have those anymore. You'll have to watch a full 60 minutes, but the wins are still the wins, and it doesn't matter whether Cam Newton's your quarterback or Brian Hoyer's your quarterback, and there's a pretty big gap between those two guys. That's my whole rationale. It's extremely consistent, which I know is, you know, off-putting for you people, but it is. So there's that. Speaking of Cam Newton, apparently the Patriots talked to him, and no interest. Peter in New Hampshire on that. Go ahead, Peter.
You know, I have to disagree with Murray. He's a silly goose. You can't tell me that Cam Newton, who got beat out by an unrestricted free agent last year for his job and has never spent a day in the Patriots playbook, is going to give you more wins than Jared Stidham, who is the prototypical type Patriot. He has a fast release, and he's already got a year in the playbook. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Newton didn't lose out to the rookie last year. He was injured.
And
couldn't
say
play.
It makes no sense. Cam Newton's a much better player, Peter. So, it's not that crazy of a take. I just think it's not going to net out to be that big of a difference. But Cam Newton is – if someone else were my coach or this were a different team, you know, this is a different discussion. You know, again, if this were the Jacksonville Jaguars or whatever, name any multitude of teams, I would take Cam Newton over all those guys 10 times out of 10. Okay, but this is a different situation. And this I'm talking about this Patriots team. I don't think there's a big of a difference. For someone else, different coach, different program, big difference, Maz.
Well, so look, again, I get the Belichick factor. I just think you're oversimplifying the quarterback position. So is Bill a better coach than everyone else, and will he have a better chance of winning with these guys? Yes. But again, you know, their schedule is going to be difficult, and there are going to be lots of games in which the quarterback is going to have to make some sort of play for them late, and I just don't think they're going to get the production there. Just quickly on the caller, could that guy be wrong about more things? Really, first of all, again, as Murray said, Cam Newton was injured. Secondly, Jared Stidham is the perfect Patriot. He's got a quick release. Can we already make that determination?
I know. It's a little quick.
I mean, based on what? We got John Gruden there in his house, wherever the hell he is, breaking down film, that guy? Is that who he thinks he is, the next John Gruden? I don't know if Stidham can play. I like what I saw in the preseason, but who the hell knows? I still need to see how this thing shakes out. So I like the idea of a young guy. I'd rather have him than Hoyer, but I'm not telling you I'm locked in on Jared Stidham yet. I need to see it in real games.
More Peter King and his rankings. He has San Francisco fourth. How do you feel about that, Murray?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're a quarterback away. I mean, that team is well-rounded. They showed that in the Super Bowl. It's maybe the best defense in the NFL. They just can't get over the hump because the quarterback is the quarterback.
So both of you guys are irritating the crap out of me today if you want to know the truth of it. Well, first of all, Mr. Consistency over here wants to tell us that he's the same no matter who the quarterback is. And you, every day, you go out of your way to take a shot at a guy who's 23-6 or something in his career as a starter in the NFL.
That same guy also had a 10-point lead with about 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, biggest game of his life, and then he proceeded to crap his pants. So I know I'm being consistent here, like Mike is being consistent in his way. That if I was a teammate of one Jimmy Garoppolo, I would be mad that the Niners didn't make a bigger play for Tom Brady. But that's just me. Go on.
Okay, so mine's a prediction, which is worthless, right? Murray is looking at what has actually happened and, like, living in an alternate universe, but that's okay. Peter King was tough on Garoppolo, too. You'd be happy to know, Murray. Peter King says the 49ers have an excellent chance to stay atop the tough NFC West, though a Lombardi trophy will come only with more consistency from Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm. Mm-hmm. His 75.9 rating in the playoffs, while not coming out of nowhere, was more noticeable because of how coach Kyle Shanahan play called in January after Garoppolo threw an ugly interception against the Vikings. And that first playoff game, I think, is what he's referring to.
Correct.
Correct.
In the Niners' last six quarters before the Super Bowl, Garoppolo threw 14 passes, and the Niners ran it 72 times. Again, I think that's misleading because...
Well, it's a soft way of saying the coach doesn't trust his suck quarterback.
Well, but again, in there was a Packers game in which I think the Niners averaged 10 yards a carry or 9.
Something like that.
9 something. Yeah. Like, I mean, I wouldn't throw it either, no matter who my quarterback. If I'm averaging 10 yards a carry on the ground, there is no reason to throw it. But I think it was clear in the Super Bowl that Shanahan was petrified of Garoppolo. That I think, is clear. Mm-hmm. He says... That might have happened in the Bob Greasy Miami days, but man, it was noticeable in today's football. So that's a big thing about the Niners getting over the hump, but he's got him fourth. He's got Brady and the Buccaneers fifth. Brady and the Buccaneers fifth. He says, last year my email bag got overstuffed with zingers after I picked the 49ers, coming off a 6-10 and 4-12 last two seasons, number 7 in my spring power rankings. You all turned out to be right about my misjudgment of the Niners, sort of. Actually, I underrated them. Blah. So yeah, that was just a blowing.
Peter King blowing is what that is.
That's how Peter King blows you. So I've learned my lesson. I've inflated the Bucs. It's part Tom Brady. The turnovers are one thing. Last year, the Bucs threw 30 interceptions. In the last 5 years, Brady threw 29. How about that? And it stands to reason Brady will lift a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game since Brady's first season as a full-time starter in 02. How about that?
Unreal.
He says, I do not believe he's fallen off some cliff at 43. It's a cliche. He's not going to be the deep ball thrower Arians would most want at the position, but he will be the kind of player leader this franchise has lacked at the position for a long time. Is 5 too high for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
No.
A smidge? Maybe a smidge.
No, and I'll tell you why, because, again, the teams that he lists, correct me if I'm wrong, but 3 or 4 of them were in the NFC out of the top 5, right?
So I don't have the full ranking for him.
Okay, so but I know he had New Orleans up there, for example. You know, San Francisco's obviously up there. So
it's KC, Baltimore, New Orleans, San Fran is the top 4, and then Bucks are the 5.
Yeah, you know, those two teams in front of them, though, are both legit Super Bowl threats. So, Tampa Bay absolutely could be that high. I don't think that that's wrong.
I think Seattle, as much as I like Brady, I mean, you could have made a case for Russell Wilson to be the MVP at one stretch last year. Like, Seattle I put ahead of Tampa.
So I'm selling on Baltimore. I'm selling on the Niners because I just think they're ripe for a Super Bowl hangover kind of year. And that's going to be tough. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan has the ability to rehab himself, his quarterback, the whole thing with the way that ended. And I think that's just, you're looking at the new Atlanta Falcons. And I believe in Garoppolo. I like him. But I think they're just sort of ripe for that thing. So I sell on the Niners. I sell on the Ravens. I would buy on the Seahawks. The Buccaneers at 5. I feel like that's too high. Again, given the coaching. But anyway, there are those thoughts. We can continue with that throughout the course today. We'll reset it later on as well. Coming up next, however, the latest in Major League Baseball. Maz has some developing opinions on that. There was a comment out there that Maz wants to get to as well that he liked. Actually, someone made some sense in assessing this situation. We'll get to all of that after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com.
Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.